You go shopping at the big box store and pick up a new TV, a gross of TP, and what's this? Organic milk? Think cows grazing contentedly midst acres of lush grass. Cool. Organic milk. At the big box store, no less. Wait, what's this? The Cornucopia Institute claims that milk is not really organic after all. That milk is little more than industrial milk dressed up in an organic label, in willful violation of the Organic Food Act of 1990. But the company that produced the milk for the big box store, Aurora Organic Dairy, claims the milk is indeed organic and that it has the government paperwork to prove it. This organic family feud leads us to ask, what's in the carton?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 560th edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends down there in Wanaka, who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio, with engineer Dave Michaels on the boards. Hello, Dave.
Glad to be here.
Producer Carol Stafford.
Hello, everyone.
Parmalee Taff.
Greetings.
Folks, when the government recognized organic farming with an official set of regulations and certifications, demand for organic produce soared, as did the prices for those products as well. At about the same time, dairy companies learned that they could industrialize production by moving dairy farms from the grassy heartland to the arid west. In doing so, the dairy farms could contain far more animals in a much smaller space and still manage the waste. As a consequence, the arid west is now well-populated by industrial-scale dairies milking thousands and thousands and thousands of cows. Some dairy companies, among them Aurora Organic, looked carefully at the laws governing organic production and figured they could convert some of those industrial-scale dairies into organic ones, and by doing so, provide the mass market with organic milk at affordable prices. And thus the stage is now set for our conversation. So, ladies and gentlemen, please meet Will Fantle, who is the co-director of the Cornucopia Institute. Will, welcome to the Food Chain.
Hi, Michael. Happy to be here. Beautiful day in Wisconsin, too.
Oh, good. So you still have dairies in Wisconsin?
Yes, we do. We have many dairies still, although your state, California, you know, has surged ahead of us in the whole dairy market.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you listen to the setup here? Was I kind of right in saying that, you know, a lot of the dairy people have figured out that by moving from the lush grasslands of Wisconsin to the arid west, they could increase the populations of the animals on the dairy farms?
Well, that is exactly what has happened. Whether or not that is legal or in accordance with the National Organic Program, organic regulations, we would differ with that. But certainly that is the case. Many of these industrial-scale dairies have been established in the western states.
Okay, tell us a little bit about the Cornucopia Institute. Who are you?
We're sort of a new organization. We're a little over 3 years old. We were formed with a simple mission, and that mission is to promote economic justice for family-scale farmers around the country. And we have viewed organics as one of the prime vehicles for creating that environment of economic justice for family farmers, because in organics, most farmers are truly getting a fair price for the commodities that they're raising.
Mm-hmm. Kind of that was the intent of the law, I think, when it was pushed through. I think that's a fair comment at any rate. Well, who pays your way? Who pays the bills for the Cornucopia Institute?
We get our funding from approximately three different sources. Most of our members, a little over 70%, are family farmers around the country. And they provide roughly about, and I'll say this in a rough overall approximate total, that our money comes from about one-third, one-third, one-third from each of these sources. So our members provide about a third of our revenue stream. About a third of our money comes from an assortment of foundations around the country that are interested in supporting our mission. And about a third of our money comes from what we call ethical businesses, businesses that may be retailers or producers that are involved in organics and want to see the integrity and ethics of organics protected.
Okay, so you're being supported then by small organic farmers. Sounds
many,
like about one-third of your dough is coming from them, right?
Many farmers, and our other members are made up of, in that membership category, consumers who also support this mission and want to see economic justice for family farmers.
Good. Well, fair enough. Not with us today, folks, is a representative of the Aurora Organic Dairy, the nation's largest private label producer of organic milk. They're the ones that produce for Costco and Target and whatnot and in their own labels. Apparently, every person at the nation's largest organic dairy was too busy to talk with us today, so we'll have to forge on without them. Will Fanta, the Cornucopia Institute, along with other organizations like the Organic Consumers Union, have been pointing fingers at large organic dairies. And so we ask, what's wrong with organic milk at affordable prices?
Clearly, nothing is wrong with that. And one of the things that we would point to is that in their desire to get to that state, some of these industrial scale dairies aren't observing the rules and providing what consumers think they're getting and buying when they purchase that carton in the marketplace.
Well, I think what we think we're getting is a cow grazing contentedly in lush green meadows. Is that what we're getting?
I would say that the industrial scale dairies, although there are a growing number of them, are still the aberration. The vast majority of farmers involved in organic dairying are family scale, and by that I mean they have probably less than 100 head on their mm-hmm. operations. And these are scattered across the country from the Northeast, the Midwest, some in the South. And
traditionally in grasslands, right?
Yes, and even in California you'll see a number of these style operations in the northern part of the state where the rain regime supports much more of that lush pasture and grassland.
Okay, and traditionally these folks, being small, have worked together through cooperatives, correct?
A lot of them work through cooperatives, but a number of them as well market their milk to some of the larger interests in the dairy processing community, Horizon being one. Mm-hmm. There are number of family farmers that sell to that company, which is a privately held company as well. And but there are certainly and clearly a number of cooperatives around the country that accept milk from organic dairy farmers.
So you, in essence, then, do not have any problem with industrial scale dairy farms as long as they're following the rules?
Well, what we would say, and I think what the organic regulations stipulate is that there's no size limit on a dairy as long as they follow the rules. Now, having said that, what is clear is that there are limits apparently to size from the practice or the management of those rules, in that, let's say you have 100 animals on your farm and you're milking a herd that big and you're milking those cows twice a day, which is pretty standard.
Mm-hmm.
Those cows go out on the pasture after the morning milking, come back in the evening, are milked again. The industrial scale dairies face a different challenge. The regulations require that pasture be part of their forage.
So to be an organic dairy farm, you have to provide your dairy cows with pasture.
With pasture, it has to be part of their forage, and the other...
Not only do you have to provide them with pasture, but you have to provide them with pasture that has grass growing on it.
Yes. It doesn't stipulate grass, but it has to be of a feed value.
Okay, a forage.
For the animals. And
it has to have living food on it, then.
Yes.
Okay.
And not only that, ruminants, which dairy cows are one... are supposed to be placed in conditions where they're allowed to exhibit their natural behavior. That's clearly stated in the rules. And, well, what is a natural behavior for a cow? And I think many of your farmer listeners know that. I mean, that's out grazing on a pasture when cows have been confined for a while, whether that's because of weather or some other condition. Many farmers know that when those cows get released into the pasture, they're kicking up their heels and they're happy to be out and back in the style of environment.
Have you ever seen a cow smile? I have.
Yeah.
I did once. It was quite extraordinary. It was just exactly the way you described it. It was at Joel Salatin's Polyface Farm in Swope, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And he was moving the cattle from one pasture that they had just grazed to a new pasture. And the cows ran skipping and jumping into this new pasture. And I
exactly.
thought, those are happy cows.
Yeah. And folks, that is what consumers think is part of the organic label that they're buying.
Okay, folks, this is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. Today we're talking about dairy, organic dairy. And specifically we're talking about the organic milk that you get from the big box stores, and we wonder what's in those cartons of organic milk. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. We have Will Fanta with the Cornucopia Institute with us today, but nobody from Aurora Organic Dairy. Do stay tuned. We will be right back.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of MetroFarm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. MetroFarm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. MetroFarm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. MetroFarm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of MetroFarm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Well, you go to the big box store and pick up a new TV, a gross of TP, and what's this? Organic milk? Wow, cows grazing contentedly amidst acres of lush grass. Cool, huh? A organic milk at the big box store at affordable prices. What could be better than good milk at affordable prices? And that's, of course, the question we're asking today. We have Will Fantel with us, who is the co-director of the Cornucopia Institute, but nobody from organic or from the Aurora Organic Dairy, who are all too busy to talk today. So we'll ask Will. Will, you folks at the Cornucopia Institute have been kind of like pit bulls at the heels of these large organic dairies for some time now. I've been following your press releases, and you're just relentlessly going after them. And I think your efforts have already led to the decertification of one of these large organic dairies. Is that not true?
Yes, the Case Van Der Ek Jr. operation, although not particularly, we had filed a complaint with USDA about their operations, and they did lose their organic license. It was suspended earlier this year. That was a 10,000 head split operation with both conventional and organic cows on the farm.
So they had, how do you do that? How do you have one half of the farm is organic and one half of the operation is conventional? How do you,
that was the management challenge at that farm, and they had a smaller portion of that herd somewhere in the neighborhood.
Do they have labels that they stick on the cow's butt that says organic and conventional or something? How does that work?
Well, that is a question we're still trying to get answered about how the Van Der Ek operation approached that. We have pictures on our website from that farm, and what you'll see if you look at those is basically a farm road going down part of the facility, and on one side there's conventional cows in a feedlot, and on the other side there's organic cows in a feedlot. And part of the reason they lost their certification was the record keeping that was kept on that facility wasn't clear, so that you knew that conventional cow was a conventional cow or an organic cow was an organic cow.
So on one side of the road was the grass green and lush, and on the other side it was not?
Actually, there was no lush green grass even on the farm either. That was another part of our complaint about the operation, is that it was a confinement feedlot operation, and the only pasture that was being used on that was for young stock that was trucked, in some cases, miles away to another parcel of land that was owned by the individual, but the milking herd was confined to a feedlot.
So now you've brought this dairy to its knees with respect to its organic certification, and now you've been pointing the finger at Aurora Organic Dairy.
Yep.
And you have actually filed a complaint with the United States Department of Agriculture, claiming that Aurora Organic was not following the rules.
Initially, that's what we did. We filed a series of formal legal complaints with the USDA, which is a route for organizations like ours to trigger an investigation then into management practices on a particular farm or farms, as in Aurora's case, they have five industrial-scale facilities. And
are they all throughout the West?
Yes, they're concentrated in arid regions of Texas and Colorado.
Let me ask you this as a quick aside. Is it possible to do this in the lush grass country of Wisconsin? Could you have an industrial-scale farm like this?
The largest operation that we have seen where the biggest one that we have seen that is being managed effectively is actually in Northern California. There is a 1,000 cow operation taking advantage of the nearly 40 inches of rain that falls on an annual basis in that environment to operate their pasture-based dairy operation.
So they have must have a lot of pasture to.
Oh, clearly, yes.
Okay.
And here in Wisconsin, we've got operations upwards of 500 animals.
But we're talking here, when we're talking about these industrial scale places, we're talking upwards of 10,000 cows then.
That's correct. And Aurora, in particular, the one facility that we filed our first complaint on, there were at the time somewhere around 4,500 animals in a confinement setting.
Would it be physically possible to manage the waste in a situation like that in the rainy country of Wisconsin?
Well, you know, that would be a challenge, and part of the way that the organic certification process works, that farmers are supposed to develop a system plan mm-hmm. with their certifying agent that addresses that very issue that you raised, so that there is the manure that's generated at a large facility is handled responsibly and most likely, although this isn't required, but most likely is spread back on the land to help in the soil and soil fertility building.
Right. Okay. And then take us back to Aurora Organic and what your complaints were with respect to their California operation. Was it a California operation or was it at
Colorado?
Colorado. Okay, Colorado.
Yep. Near Platteville. And our first complaint was filed in January of 2005. So you can see we've been at this for quite a while. And that first complaint, along with a couple other that we filed as well on other operations, went by, dragged on for 8-9 months, and then was dismissed by the USDA without even an investigation. And we were kind of puzzled by that.
So you asked the FDA to investigate, and they just said no.
USDA dismissed the complaint because they were saying, well, we found this out through a Freedom of Information Act request that provided us with some of these public documents. Basically, they were saying that we're looking at perhaps redefining pasture. So whether this company is speeding
Ooh.
Down the road at 95 miles an hour and breaking the law, we're not going to investigate because we might change the definition of pasture and management.
So they might go into the organic laws and redefine the organic laws to make it possible to redefine what a pasture is.
Correct.
And since we're thinking about doing that, we're not going to investigate Aurora.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we refiled. Actually, I should say that this tussle has been going on for a number of years in the organic community, and at all points, farmers from around the country have typically been pressing for stricter regulations. So it wasn't like the National Organic Program was hearing, oh, let's loosen things up. They were looking at tightening things down, and yet here's this company that was speeding out of control down the roadway. Well, we filed a subsequent complaint then in November, and this is the one that apparently seemed to grab the USDA and had some teeth to it that they were willing to investigate. And this was a farmer who invited us out to his facility in Colorado, who was managing for Aurora their replacement animals going into their various herds, mm-hmm. and their young stock born on their organic operations. They were all shipped more than an hour away to this 12,000 head, again, another split
this
operation.
This is 12,000 head?
Yeah. And a portion of this gentleman, Stephen Wells, his farm was managing Aurora's organic.
Is he still working for Aurora Organic?
No, Mr. Wells was questioning the approach that Aurora was directing him to take with the organic cattle. And he was a fifth-generation farmer, mm-hmm. Had integrity, and so he thought, you know, I'm going to get a second opinion. And he called us up and asked us out to his operation to look it over and make sure that what he was doing was on the up and up. And once Aurora found out that we were invited out to look at the operation, his contract with them was terminated.
Okay, folks, this is the Food Chain. Michael Olson here. We're talking about those cartons of organic milk that you find at the big box stores. What's in that milk? Some say it's affordable organic milk, and the others say it's affordable milk that's not organic at all. And so we invite you to participate. We have Will with us today, Will Fantle, who is the co-director of the Cornucopia Institute, but not with us today are representatives from the Aurora Organic Dairy. Despite being the largest dairy company in the United States, organic dairy company in the United States, they have nobody that can speak with us today because they're all very, very busy indeed. So we'll ask you what you think. Do you think that it's possible to follow the letter of the organic law and break the spirit of the law? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080, right back. Welcome back. This is the Food Chain. Michael Olson here with Will Fantle, co-director of the Cornucopia Institute, and not with us today, representatives of Aurora Organic Dairy. We're talking about what's in those cartons of organic milk that you can buy at the big box stores. We're not talking about those small family farm operations. We're talking about those industrial dairies that are manufacturing organic milk at affordable prices. Is it really organic? That's the question that we're really asking today. And we're asking it of Will Fantle because they pointed the fingers at Aurora Organic and said, you guys are not following the rules. And you went to the federal government once, and the federal government said, in effect, that, well, we might be changing the organic rules. We might be changing the definition of pasture, so we're not going to pursue this investigation of Aurora. And then the Cornucopia went back again with more complaints, since for some reason they started listening. Why did they listen this time, Will?
I think that there was just a growing clamor in the organic community to take a close look at this, and the it was aided by the National Organic Standards Board, which is a expert advisory panel to the National Organic Program, made up of people from around the country, of different stakeholders in the organic sector. And they had again passed another resolution at their August meeting in 2005, trying to tighten and strengthen the definition of pasture and organic livestock management. And
so, in effect, the whole word, or the whole world of organics, is kind of tied up to what happens here. Correct.
Well, we think what has, yes, I would agree, and we think that what has developed and flowed from this is unfolding the biggest scandal yet in the organic sector, and it's not. The organic label still has a very strong meaning for consumers in the marketplace, but it's important for the system to work to try and weed out the scofflaws so that that integrity of the label stays in place.
What happened when the USDA looked at Aurora Organic again?
Well, we had also then filed a second complaint on a separate facility in Texas as well, so that became part of the investigation. And ultimately, USDA has a separate division, a compliance division, that investigates many things food-related in the country, and organics just being one piece of that. Well, they sent out their independent investigators to look at what we had been saying at Aurora's facilities, and the investigators came back, filed their report. That report was reviewed by a number of different levels inside the USDA, and I just want to mention what the conclusion of that was in a letter that was sent to Aurora in April of this year. And the program manager for the National Organic Program said, "We identified, we being the USDA, willful violations of the Organic Foods Production Act of 1990 on their farm, and now I'm no longer quoting, but those were 14 distinct willful violations of the organic program regulations."
Willful violations means, say, hey, we did this deliberately, I guess.
They knew what they were doing. Let me just say that the people involved with Aurora are not novices. They are experienced organic veterans. In fact, one of the two principals in Aurora is the former chair of the board of the Organic Trade Association.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is kind of like a family feud, isn't it?
Whereas,
you know, one segment of the organic community is looking at the other segment, and you're having like a family feud about how far you can go and still be organic.
We would say it's perhaps more than a feud, in that we are fighting for the integrity and ethics of the label, and requiring that it still means something in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the conclusions that was drawn by the NOP and National Organic Program, I'm sorry, and their investigators, independent investigators, was that from December 5th, 2003, to the present, which at that time of the date of this letter was April of this year, milk sold, labeled, and represented as organic by Aurora was not produced and handled in accordance with the organic program and the regulations of the program. So that means that all the milk that they had been selling for that period of time was in question. And that is a serious, serious breach of the organic rules and regulations, and something we're still trying to get more closely reviewed by the federal government, so that there is much more of a sanction involved with this breach than the plea agreement that the company was able to negotiate with the USDA.
Okay, so then Aurora went back to the USDA and worked out a deal.
Yes. They cut what I would call a plea agreement in common parlance, as people understand it from watching all the crime shows on TV.
Mm-hmm. What is the deal?
Well, the deal allowed them basically to stay in business. And you saw that the farm in Central California, the Vanderick operation, lost its certification because of some of their very similar violations. And here Aurora was allowed to stay in business. They were required as well to downsize one of their herds at one of their factory farms, and they were also required to remove some animals from their herds that were not termed to be organic, properly transitioned to organic production. And the bottom line, though, is that because of their incredible footprint in the marketplace, the provider of milk to Walmart, Target, portions of the Safeway chain, Costco, and a number of other national chains, that they had a lot of political muscle, and they were able to stave off the death penalty, which would have been a loss of organic certification for 5 years. Basically would have put them out of business, which was one of the options that the NOP had.
What do you mean by footprint? What does that mean?
I mean that the size of their operation, their economic power and influence, is so big that USDA was unwilling to remove that from the organic sector. They have presently somewhere between 12 to 14, 15,000 cows in their herds between their various farms, and That's a sizable number. The entire size of the nation's organic herd, if you add up all the farms around the country, is probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 120,000. So they have a big sector, a big segment of that population. I think USDA was scared that, gee, Walmart might be able to provide private label milk, or Target might not be able to if we pull these scoff laws out of the marketplace. And you have to also weigh the fact that Aurora has millions of dollars behind them. They've got investments in their facilities from the Harvard Endowment Fund, of all places, which has invested $18 million in their operation. So they've got deep pockets and lawyers.
Okay, folks, this is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. We're talking about organic milk, industrial organic milk, the kind of milk that you buy in cartons at the big box stores, along with your television sets and your toilet paper, and we're questioning what's in that milk, and we're inviting you to participate. We're going to go to the phones when we get back from this break. Phone number is 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Do you think that you can go with the letter of the law and still comply with the spirit of the law? What do you think? Right back.
Hi, folks. How many of you out there love to garden? Wouldn't it be nice to grow some of your own food? Or maybe a flower garden would brighten your day. Well, now you can have the pleasures of gardening without all that effort. You don't need a tractor. You don't need a rototiller. All you need is the Knox Garden Box. A heavily constructed, portable, elevated garden on legs that can virtually change the way you've gardened in the past. The Knox Garden Box can be set up anywhere. Yes, you can place it right on concrete. For those with bad backs, you've got critters and gophers, no space or maybe no dirt. With the Knox Garden Box, the therapy of garden is now the prescription for good mental health. The way to find your fabulous Knox Garden Box is by logging on to knoxgardenbox.com. That's K-N-O-X, gardenbox.com. Or by calling 831-461-9430.
Well, just think of it. Cows grazing contentedly amidst acres of lush green grass. Cool organic milk from the big box store at reasonable prices. What a great, great concept. Good, fresh milk at affordable prices. But is the perception of that, what's in that carton, the reality of what's in that carton? That's the question we're asking today. And we have with us Will Fantle from the Cornucopia Institute. Not with us today, anybody from Aurora Organic Dairy, who, of course, is the principal producer of that organic milk at the big box stores. Will, it sounds like such a great thing. Is it, in your estimation, possible to have real organic milk in a large industrial setting like they have on the dairy farms of the West with, 13,000 cows in them?
Very difficult to manage those and meet the regulatory requirements of the National Organic Program. We have visited larger operations, several hundred head in a very similar environment in Colorado, and it's being done well. But
you're talking several hundred.
Yes.
Whereas
the one-tenth as big as what Aurora was trying to manage, but still bigger than the typical family size herd. And to then do that, this individual in Colorado was irrigating a lot of the pasture to make sure that pasture was a good feed for it.
Mm-hmm. And the real core issue is that the cows must be milked and then turned out to a pasture, and that pasture must contain feed, live food, grasses, grains that the cows can munch as they're wandering around. That is the core principle of organic farming.
Core principle of organic dairying, for sure, and livestock management. And it's also part of the approach that lends itself to improving animal health, so that those animals, because, organics, they don't allow the use of tools that are typical and conventional.
Here's a Bill on the line. Maybe he can help us out here. Bill, welcome to the food chain.
Thank you for taking my call. I was out of the truck for a while, so I hope I'm not asking a question that was already answered. But
I think you're just getting right to the point here.
Okay, good. My question is, I know next to nothing about dairy cattle, but are dairy cattle vaccinated against fangs or things like that? Are they dewormed with either a boron or injectable? And if you have one that's sick, say hoof rot or something like that, and you have to give it antibiotics, LA-200 or something like that, do you pull them out of the organic herd, or is there a milk withdrawal?
The animals that are managed, antibiotics are prohibited from use in the milking herd, but animals that are suffering from conditions that are not responding to the treatments that are allowed in organics, and there are a number of different remedies that are allowed for various conditions. Those animals, if it's to protect the life of the animal, they're pulled from the herd, antibiotics can be administered, and typically they are banned from return to that herd for over a year. So most farmers, I think you will find that do pull an animal out to treat it in a humane fashion so that it stays alive. We'll typically sell that animal then to a conventional producer.
Okay, and then what about vaccination, things like that?
That, you know, is a technical question that I'm unable to answer, but our senior farm policy person, who is much more versed in the small details of organics, can address. And if you'd like, Bill, I can get you that answer. If you want to leave your name with the producer of the program, we'll shoot you an answer back after the program.
Okay, and then my other question was, small dairies, it seems like you need somewhere between 1,000 and 1,500 head to really turn a profit. And you mentioned family farmers. Are family farmers with 100 dairy cows making money, or is it more of a hobby operation?
Oh, no, no. Organics has been different from conventional agriculture in that they have provided a real price in the marketplace for smaller producers. For a number of years, the milk price for these family farmers who are in organics was 50 to 70% higher than conventional milk prices. So they are able to get a living wage out of it.
Now, isn't this the core reason why you're fighting those large industrial dairies? Is because they are changing the structure of the prices for organic milk?
Not so much milk in the marketplace, but they're changing the milk paid, the price paid to farmers at the farm gate. What has happened this year for the first time in the history of organic dairying is that we now have a surplus of organic milk, and that surplus of organic milk is coming from industrial scale facilities like Aurora and others scattered around the country that are flooding the market with this industrial generated milk, which we don't believe is meeting the organic regulations, and now is beginning to push down that price paid to farmers in the marketplace, the legitimate, the ethical farmers, those farmers that consumers think they are supporting, mm-hmm. that are doing it right, and they are now in jeopardy. And in larger terms, too, it is also choked off the ability of more new family farmers to enter into organics because of this surplus. There isn't a processor right now in the marketplace that is looking to take on new farmers because of this surplus and the uncertainty that has created.
Okay, folks, this is the Food Chain. Michael Olson here. Can those small family organic farmers survive in a world that is becoming increasingly dominated by industrial scale farmers out here in the arid West? And what do you think? Are you willing to pay the premium for that organic dairy that comes from those industrial farms? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back. Well, we're talking about perception and reality. We look at those cartons of organic milk at the big box store, and we see cows grazing contentedly on some farmer's lush green grass. But such is not the case often. Those cows might well come from an industrial-scale ag farm in the arid west out here, which is where it's possible to put thousands and thousands and thousands of cows on one farm. And in those lush countryside of the Midwest and the Heartland, you can get 100 or so, or maybe if you're extraordinarily smart, maybe 300, but nowhere near the size. And so we're asking can those dairies that grow organic milk comply with the letter of the law and not the spirit of the law? And we're asking Will Fantle, who is the co-director of the Cornucopia Institute, and we would like to ask the same, of course, of Aurora Organic Dairy, but they're too busy to talk with us today. So, Will, you get to close it here. Can they comply with the letter of the law and yet not the spirit of the law?
Well, we're not even sure that they're complying with the letter of the law based on the findings of the USDA, and that's something we're still trying to pursue to get some true enforcement action on this. But
well, essentially, the USDA found them out of compliance with the letter of the law. They found, 14 willful violations?
14 willful violations, yes.
And yet, essentially, they worked out a deal where there would be no enforcement if Aurora Organic does certain things.
Right.
Did those things that Aurora is charged with doing, will they bring them in compliance with the letter of the law?
We're waiting to see, and we are going to be watching very closely. One of the requirements is to expand pasturing and the amount of pasture that they have to put the animals out on pasture, which would be quite
which
the change.
Which is the letter of the law, is
yes.
it not?
Yeah.
Okay, so they're not yet out on pasture.
We don't know. We know that as of this summer, when some of our farmer members were visiting were on tour of their model, their newest farm, their model operation in Colorado, you couldn't see those cows out on pasture at that time. And this is, you know, months after they've been trying to negotiate this deal with the USDA, it certainly appeared to us that they still were not complying with the concerns that the USDA was going to try and enforce.
Mm-hmm. What about the spirit of the law?
The spirit of the law is totally important because it, although lacking perhaps legal teeth, it is what has driven and developed this sector, and most farmers understand what that means. They understand what the regulations require, and it's our belief from our research that the vast majority of organic dairy farmers in this country are complying with both the spirit and the letter of the law.
Okay, go quickly to Mary. Mary, welcome to the Food Chain.
Thank you, Michael, for doing the show, and thank you for also being here. You know, this just raises for me as a consumer a question. How can our federal government continue to use its American people as guinea pigs, whether it's food from China that is just poison and not developing regulations to take care of it before it reaches our table, and or allowing industrial farmers to call themselves organic? You know, they are abusing us and using us as guinea pigs. So thanks for the show.
Mary, thank you very much. And, I guess we'll have to end right there. Thank you, Will Fantle, with
thank
the Cornucopia Institute. Appreciate your appearance today. And thank you out there for tuning in the Food Chain today. Remember, cheap food isn't.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.